Montgomery, our job on Route 491, which was until 2003 Route 666, but changed that because the signs kept getting stolen by aspiring Satanists and Satanist curious people, I guess. This is Tapiopod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from lovely Cortez, Colorado. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Four Corners and the ginormous Navajo Reservation. Today is Thursday, the 29th of December, 2016. On this date, in 1170, Thomas Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury, is murdered by supporters of King Henry II. He goes on to become a saint and martyr in both the Catholic and Anglican churches. 1851, the first Young Men's Christian Association in the United States, better known as the YMCA, opens in Boston, Massachusetts. 1890, 300 members of the Lakota Nation are killed by U.S. cavalry soldiers in the massacre at Wounded Knee in South Dakota. It was the last major confrontation between U.S. troops and American Indians. The family of Crazy Horse had buried his heart near there 13 years earlier, hence the book Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. 1930, Sir Muhammad Iqbal's presidential address in Allahabad introduces the two-nation theory and outlines the creation of Pakistan. 1937, the Irish Free State adopts a new constitution, making it fully 100% independent from the United Kingdom, at least according to it, becoming the Republic of Ireland. See the movie The Wind That Shakes the Barley. 1989, Václav Havel is elected the first president of Democratic Czechoslovakia following the Velvet Revolution that swept the Communist Party out of power. 2006, the United Kingdom finally repays all of its debts owed to the United States from the Anglo-American Loan Agreement, otherwise known as Lend-Lease, from 1946 to help Britain recover from the Second World War. At 2015 prices, the original loan was a dizzying $57 billion. Birthdays are William Gladstone, Mary Tyler Moore, and Ted Danson. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast was written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tapiopod.com or send us an email at tapiopod@gmail.com. Constitutional Court struck down a law which made marijuana possession and consumption punishable with jail time. It made the decision based on a lawsuit filed by the Public Defender's Office, which argued that prison time is too strict and degrading. According to the part of the criminal code that was struck down, being caught with marijuana can lead to a prison sentence of up to 1 year. It's not yet known whether Parliament will pass new legislation covering marijuana use. Last year, the Constitutional Court struck down a law that made possession of small amounts of marijuana punishable by up to 12 years in prison. Georgia launched a so-called war on drugs back in 2006 when marijuana possession and use was treated as a criminal offense for the first time. According to Democracy and Freedom Watch, thousands of people were detained on marijuana-related offenses from 2008 to 2013. The term, like plea bargaining, was copied from the U.S. judicial system, but was really a method to get more kids in jail, strengthen the authority of the state, put fear into the public, and make money for the penitentiary system. As we know, this was one of the biggest reasons for the end of the National Movement's rule, a fact that they have still not reckoned with. Following up on the incident regarding Gia Otrozoria, the Georgian citizen who was murdered near the administrative boundary line at Kurcha back in May, Zugdidi City Court found Abkhaz border guard Rashid Kanjioglu guilty of murder, sentencing him to, in absentia, to 12 years in prison. The main prosecutor's office said the sentence is too light and they plan to appeal to get a longer prison term. Kanjioglu is currently under house arrest in Abkhazia, and the authorities in Suchumi so far haven't been willing to hand him over. Georgia's Justice and Interior Ministries announced in November that they're pushing Interpol to put a red notice on Kanjioglu, which would make him an international fugitive. Otrozoria was shot and killed on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line after trying to send food over to his relatives in Gali. Video footage showed a group of border guards led by Kanjioglu coming across the boundary line and shooting Otrozoria several times at point-blank range. The internal split within the national movement deepened this week as Givitar Gamadze, who served as chairman of the Parliamentary Defense and Security Committee from 2004 to 2012, criticized Misha for hijacking the process for organizing the National Movement Party Convention, which is scheduled for the 20th of January. Targamadze claimed that the party's 60-member political council, which represents many of Misha's opponents within the national movement, no longer has any power because its powers have been taken by the organizing committee for the upcoming convention, which is led by Misha's supporters. Targamadze accused Misha of being obsessed with the idea of being the sole leader of the party, and that things have gotten out of hand. Another prominent party member, Dato Darciashvili, wrote on Facebook that the national movement will soon cease to exist. Shortly before these statements were made, on the 23rd of December, Misha addressed his supporters in Zugdidi, saying there was a conspiracy within the national movement that the party is being betrayed from within. He claimed that some members of the party are actually working for Bidzina. Drama within the national movement has been cranked up since the October parliamentary election, when the party won only 27 out of 150 available seats. The party conference on the 30th of November, at a party conference on the 30th of November, Misha's supporters narrowly won a vote to hold a broad-based party convention in January, where 7,000 party members will be able to vote on the new leadership. It's believed that a more broad convention will be in Misha's favor in his bid to stay the party's de facto leader. Since the conference, supporters and opponents of Misha within the national movement have traded insults and accusations in the media and on social media. As I've said, the people who voted for the national movement voted for Misha, not the other leaders, but the size of that group of voters for Misha and supporters, I think, is unlikely to grow anytime soon, like the next few decades. But the other leaders have generally been fairly horrible to others, their fellow opposition members, as well as when they were in government. So they're sort of political orphans and don't know where else to go. Without Misha, they're out in the cold, and no other parties are really opening any doors. The State Constitutional Commission met for the first time on the 24th of December after being approved by Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze. It has 73 members, including experts and representatives of 7 political parties, government agencies, and non-governmental organizations. Vice Parliamentary Speaker Tamar Chugoshvili, or Chugo, as everyone knows her, of Otsneba, will be secretary of the commission, although Kobakhidze is taking overall responsibility for its work. The final breakdown of the commission is as follows: 23 lawmakers from Otsneba, 8 from the National Movement, 2 from the Alliance of Patriots, and Salome Zurabashvili, an independent majoritarian MP for Tbilisi's Tatsmin district, who had been France's ambassador to Georgia. And then after the resignation of Shevardnadze, Misha appointed her to replace Teto Djaparidze as foreign minister. Also, one person each will come from Free Democrats, Borjanadze Democrats, State for the People and the Labor Party, Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani, and the government's parliamentary faction Shalva Tudomadze will be in the commission as well, along with figures from other governmental bodies. A number of NGOs will be represented in the commission, including, of course, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, as well as Georgian Young Lawyers Association, Open Society Georgia Foundation, the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, and the National Platform, Multinational Georgia, and the Georgian Bar Association. The commission has until the 30th of April 2017 to submit a list of proposed constitutional amendments to be considered by Parliament. Formerly, the commission includes 3 members of the President's administration: head of the administration, Gheorghe Abashishvili, Parliamentary Secretary Anna Dolidze, and National Security Council Secretary Dato Rehuyashvili. However, all 3 are boycotting the process, saying the commission lacks political legitimization. They're open to possible participation in the future, though, however. In travel to and from Georgia, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze met with executives from the Russian energy company Gazprom Export and Interrail in Minsk on the 23rd and 24th of December. The meetings were his second time this month with each organization. With Interrail, Kaladze will discuss possible electricity imports to Georgia from Russia, and with Gazprom, they'll continue annual negotiations within the framework of the existing bilateral agreement between the 2 countries. Former Republican Party MP Vakhtang Khmaladze told media that former Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili is considering launching a new political party in February 2017. The new party could include a number of former Republicans, including Khmaladze, who quit along with Usupashvili, former Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli, and several other party members after the party failed to pass the 5% threshold in the October parliamentary elections. U.S. Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham are touring the Baltic countries to reassure them that NATO will remain a top priority under Donald Trump's administration. McCain mentioned Georgia and Ukraine during a speech, saying that a strong NATO is the best tool for preventing Russian aggression in both countries. The 2 senators will visit Tbilisi in January. The government is working on a plan to provide $100,000 in humanitarian aid to victims of the war in Syria, which would be unveiled later this week. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze said Georgia will work within UN structures to provide the aid. The country is also willing to accept Syrian students if funding is provided from international donors. A Russian Tupolev 154 plane crashed in the Black Sea over the weekend. The plane was bound for Syria after taking off from Moscow and stopping for refueling in Sochi. All 92 people on board, largely a military choir, were killed, most of whom were members of the famous Red Army choir, which was going to perform for Russian soldiers stationed in Syria. After the tragedy, Georgia announced its readiness to help Russia search for crash victims. Special Representative for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze, told RIA Novosti that help will be forthcoming, but also said that Russia has not approached Georgia about cooperating in the search efforts. Prime Minister Kvitakashvili announced the government has reached out directly to the incoming Trump administration. Foreign Minister John Alidze spoke directly with incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, with the two discussing cooperation under the Charter on Strategic Partnership, a document signed by the two countries in 2009. Imedi TV announced it has completed negotiations to purchase the controlling shares in Maestro TV, with the deal expected to be finalized and the shares transferred in January. Imedi is owned by Ina Gudavadze, the widow of the late media tycoon Badri Patrikatsashvili. Maestro, who is also Patrikatsashvili's, Berezovsky's bagman, which is how he got all his money. Maestro is currently owned by the singer Georgi Gachachiladze. He's the majority shareholder, along with Maka Satiani, Mamuka Glonti, and Eka Akobia. Imedi also announced it's close to finalizing negotiations to purchase Georgian Dream Studios, or GDS, from Bera Ivanishvili, son of Bidzina. All three channels will be merged into a joint media holding. Glonti speculated that Bidzina, not Gudavadze, will be in charge. I have met Ina, and she's a lovely woman. I would not disagree with Glonti. Lado Bedukadze, the former prison guard who leaked the infamous prison rape videos before the parliamentary election in 2012, will host a show on the newly launched TV channel Tbilisi 24. They received a broadcasting license from the Communications Commission on Monday. Bedukadze was a guard at the No. 8 prison in Guldani, where he got access to the videos. Earlier this year, he returned to the public eye for making statements in favor of the Centrist Party, which ran a bizarre TV ad promising to legalize Russian military bases on Georgian territory. The Centrists were barred from participating in the parliamentary elections. State Minister for Reconciliation Ketevan Tsikhalashvili told the media that once implemented, visa liberalization for Georgian citizens traveling to the EU will absolutely be extended to those living in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. I guess she means those living in Abkhazia and South Ossetia who get Georgian passports. The government is also working to make more public services available to people living in breakaway territories. The EU is providing 44 million euros to help Georgia implement the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement, reform its vocational training center, invest in agriculture and rural development, provide support to conflict-affected affected communities, and implement reforms in several other areas. The largest chunk of money, worth 9 million, will go towards regional development. The central bank appointed two vice presidents, Archil Mestrishvili and Murtaz Kikoria. Mestrishvili will start his second 7-year term, and Kikoria will serve as vice president for the first time after having been CEO of Bank of Georgia from September 2015 to September 2016. 15 candidates applied for the vacant post of director general at the Georgian Public Broadcaster. A short list will be created by the broadcaster's board of trustees by the 3rd of January, followed by face-to-face interviews. A new director general will be selected on the 6th of January. Roughly 2 billion lari will be invested in Tbilisi Free Industrial Zone in 2017 with Turkish and Azerbaijani companies in the pharmaceutical and logistics field starting to operate in the zone for the first time. The zone is located on 17 hectares in Guldani and first opened in 2015. An anti-double taxation agreement between Georgia and Liechtenstein entered into force this week. It means that people and businesses working across the two countries will only be taxed in one of them at any given time. The agreement was originally signed May 2015. It's intended in part to promote economic cooperation between the two countries. Georgia has similar agreements with 54 countries around the world. Residents of Tbilisi who earn more than 40,000 lari annually will be required to pay a special tax for vehicles they own. The tax will be 0.2% of the market value of the vehicle for individuals earning between 40 and 100,000 lari, and 0.8% of the market value for individuals earning over 100,000. The tax is a decision of the Tbilisi City Council. The television manufacturing company AG Telecom will make a $500,000 investment in new production in 2017. The company will expand its plant in Rustavi and increase the range of products it makes, branching out into 47 to 55-inch TV sets as well as smart TVs that use the Android operating system. The company currently exports to Azerbaijan and plans to expand to Iraq and Iran in the future. Tbilisi has a new supermarket that specializes in locally grown produce and dairy products. The store Agro Hub is located at 22 Marshall Gelovani Avenue and was launched with an investment cost of $15 million. The company plans to open additional stores in Tbilisi and elsewhere in the country. Hyundai Department Stores, a major retail chain in Korea, is now carrying Borjomi and Nabeglavi mineral waters. The waters are currently only available in one store, but the company plans to expand to all of its locations. The winery Teliani Valley announced it will start producing beer from January 2017 through its subsidiary Global Beer Georgia. The company's overall investment in the beer sector is estimated to be about $37 million. They plan to export to Armenia and Azerbaijan. Georgia's best stage actors, directors, and playwrights were honored with the Duruji Prize this week, which is awarded each year to the country's top theater professionals. Three of the four prizes went for the play Lysistrata, which received awards for best director for David Sakhvaralidze, best actress for lead actress Nino Katsuradze, best writing for author Lasha Bukhadze. Best actor went to Georgi Glovelli for his work in the play Duck Hunt. Georgian translation of the popular Iranian novel, The Colonel, was unveiled at Tbilisi State University this week. It was translated by Teya Shurgaya and published by Diogene Publishing House. The Colonel was first published in Germany in 2009, but hasn't been published in Iran due to censorship issues. Parliament approved a package of judicial reform bills on their third reading on the 29th of December. The package includes eight bills which establish the following: an electronic case management system, which will assign cases randomly, which is incredibly important since it has been one of the main ways that the government has had control over the judiciary. Lifting of the three-year probationary period for judges before they can begin a lifetime appointment to the Constitutional Court or Supreme Court, and requiring the Supreme Court to have no fewer than 16 judges. Parliament Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze said the reforms will strengthen judicial independence. Unfortunately, they will be appointed. In the beginning, they wanted judges elected by the court's chairs, but now the High Council of Justice will do it. But it'll still probably be a step forward. The amendments need to be signed into law by President Mark Vilashvili before they can enter into force. Otsneva's parliamentary majority group submitted a draft foreign policy resolution that lists the EU and NATO membership as the country's top priorities and says there are no alternatives to membership in both bodies. It also says that Georgia will continue pursuing a rational policy towards Russia for the purpose of minimizing threats and restoring territorial integrity. The 12-point resolution also emphasizes reconciliation and confidence building with the local populations in Abkhazia and South Ossetia to restore territorial integrity in a peaceful manner. The resolution will be discussed by the Parliamentary Foreign Relations Committee this week and, if approved, will be voted on in a plenary session. A similar resolution was adopted in 2013 with the support from Otsneva National Movement. Otsneva increased its numbers of factions within Parliament from 2 to 5 with the formation of Georgian Dream Conservatives faction, Georgian Dream Social Democrats faction, and Georgia Dream Regional Development faction. The first group is led by members of the Conservative Party and the Democratic Party within Otsneva. Social Democrat faction is led by Gia Giorgioliani. The Regional Development faction is led by MP and entrepreneur Kaha Okriashvili. Lawmakers in the three new factions had to quit Otsneva's 110-member faction. Parliament voted to set up an ad hoc commission to work on the restoration of Georgia's territorial integrity. The commission will have 14 members and a 2-year mandate. The members will be announced after the New Year's holiday. Current Vice Speaker for Otsneva, Gia Volsky, was chairperson of a similar commission in the previous parliament. The meme this week is a short video prepared for the European Commission by Tbilisi native Ernest Petrosyan. He teaches us the meaning of Shemomechama, a Georgian word that most foreigners don't know yet, but is very, very useful, especially in this holiday season and during a Supra. South Caucasus expert Dennis Sammet recaps the region's political year in 2016. He's optimistic, saying that all three countries effectively weathered difficult domestic and international circumstances, and incumbent political leaders all made it to 2017 still in office. However, 2017 will bring more challenges, especially in the economic sphere. Giorgi Lomsadze writes for Eurasianet about a planned act of civil disobedience by new political center Giderci, a political party that, among other things, is pushing for the relaxation of laws that punish recreational drug use. Members of the party are inviting citizens to join them in planting a bunch of marijuana plants in Tbilisi just before midnight on New Year's Eve, and they plan to do it live on television. Group Cultivation of Plants carries a 6 to 12-year prison sentence, and the authorities say they will not be lenient. Michael Cicere also writes for Eurasianet about the possibility that U.S. interests in the South Caucasus will decline under the Trump administration, speculating that Trump's decision to pull out of Trump Tower licensing deals in Batumi and Baku could be a sign of bigger things to come. This is especially pressing for Georgia, which is the most dependent on U.S. support. For those of us who are confused about the government's policies to prop up the lorry, Jam News has a really good explainer covering the cause of the poor lorry's performance, as well as the policies designed to counter it. Lower interest rates and weak foreign direct investment hurt the national currency. The government wants to nurse it back to health by converting dollar loans into lorry and raising excise taxes on certain import goods, which could increase demand for the lorry. The site Big Think profiles Alexander Dugin, the Russian philosopher who's the brains behind Eurasianism, the current Kremlin ideology, which says all the people of the former Russian Empire have a close cultural affinity that makes them unique and incompatible with Western political norms, so they belong together in a single Eurasia, meaning Russian state. I highly recommend people listening to this because it'll very much help people understand what's on the mind of the Russian leadership and a large portion of the Russian population. Leonid Bershidsky writes in Bloomberg View about Vladimir Putin's geopolitical success in 2016 and his outlook for 2017. Russia's economic situation is likely to get worse. Trump may be a bigger headache than many expect. With the exception of France, pro-Russian politicians aren't doing so well in Europe. In Bershidsky's views, Putin's luck is going to run out soon. All this stuff to read, post on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 19, the number of universities located in Tbilisi. The oldest and largest is, of course, Tbilisi State University, which was founded in 1918 and has roughly 35,000 students enrolled, making it the oldest and largest in the entire Caucasus region. New Year's Eve is this Saturday, and Tbilisi will be packed with events. Public transport will be free for the day, including the ropeways at Rije Park and Chutzpa, Turtle Lake, which will be run for free from midnight until 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. Public events include live music. It will be held in Rije Park and at Rose Revolution Square, in addition to smaller outdoor gatherings elsewhere in the city. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com or post to the form on the website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1973, this is John Denver and Rocky Mountain High.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road and hanging by a song. But the string's already broken and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast and it don't last for long. Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
He climbed cathedral mountains, he saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once, and he tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend but kept a memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His side is turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Talk to God and listen to the casual reply. Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High. His life is full of wonder, but his heart still knows some fear of a simple thing he cannot comprehend. While they try to tear the mountains down to bring in a couple more people, more scars upon the land. In the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Though he'd be poor and mad if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High. Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain.